want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to episode 159 of the Geocaching Podcast, Leave No Trace, recorded live on June 16th, 2010. I'm your host, XPunkX. If you want to participate on our show today, please call 724-444-7444, and our talkcast ID is 7525. You can also join our live chat room to participate with other listeners, and that can be found at geocachingpodcast.com/live. Click the Join Now to Participate button. We have a voicemail, and that number is 206-3503-GPS, and we're on Twitter at twitter.com/GCPodcast, and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by worldcaching.com, your source for everything geocaching. Visit us for the coolest cache containers around, the home of the original magnetic bolt caches, creepy spider caches, golf ball caches, sprinkler caches, utility plate caches, fake rock caches, and of course, the nasty nanos. Check out our exclusive World Caching Suncatcher Geocoin, the fourth coin in our World Caching series. We shop all the other geocaching stores, choose their best stuff, so you only have to shop at one store for all of your geocaching needs. Geocoins, pins, logbooks, travel bugs, custom car decals, cache stickers, custom t-shirts, first to find prizes, we have them all. We also carry the largest selection of Groundspeak outside of Groundspeak itself. We ship worldwide also. Worldcaching.com, the largest selection of geocaching gear in the world. Well, guys, I'm so used to doing this with our other co-hosts, and they are not here tonight. Montu is out and away. Daryl called last minute and said he's sick, so it's been a long time since I've done this show by myself, so you guys might have to give me some slack here, but you know what? It's okay. We have a really fun topic tonight. We are going to be talking about Leave No Trace. So, usually we do a kind of a banter thing and I ask everybody how they're doing. Last week was the Geocaching 12 of 12 on Saturday. I didn't get a chance to do the Geocaching 12 of 12 though, because I was shooting some photos from my cousin's wedding. So instead of doing like 12 photos, I ended up doing about 300 photos. So I don't really want to post all of those photos, and none of them were actually geocaching related, but you know, it was a fun time. I did get to do, shooting some photos and stuff like that. Again, none of the geocaching kind of related photos though. Now, since we don't have our co-hosts here tonight, I do want to wish Daryl a quick and speedy recovery. I know it is his birthday today also, so he's got kind of a double whammy there. He doesn't get to join us, and he's also out sick. So he's got the good thing of having his birthday and the bad thing of being sick. So Daryl, we hope you're better. And Montu, haven't heard from him, so I don't really know if he's out sick or what. But Montu, for whatever reason, we missed you, and we hope to see you next week.
Geocaching question of the day. The bad cop asks, you answer.
Hello, this is the Bad Cop, and welcome to the geocaching question of the day. Each weekday, I ask a geocaching-related question to my Twitter audience, and then summarize the replies and post it on my website. I hope this little project will keep you up to date on the ever-changing face of geocaching. The geocacher Unnamed Mike wants to know, if you see a problem with a cache, do you fix it or log it? 88% of the fine geocachers that replied said they will fix the cache if they have what they need with them. So tell me, if you see a problem with a cache, will you fix it or log it? Want to find out all this and more? Come to my website, cachingnw.com, and follow me, the Bad Cop, on Twitter.
Well, that's an interesting thing. Thanks, Bad Cop, for asking that question. I know myself, I would probably, if I had the stuff with me, go ahead and fix the cache. But if I didn't, I would go ahead and post the log. Tonight, we are going to be talking about the Leave No Trace. There's a Leave No Trace website, which can be found at lnt.org. And they're all about leaving no trace, obviously, which is, you know, enjoying the environment, but leaving no trace of you being there. And that's even a little bit more than I think our geocaches were used to on geocaching, because, you know, on geocaching, we're used to going in, trying not to be seen, and trying not to leave a trail like a geo trail. But this goes even further than this. And I was reading through the website, and they've got a lot of really good points. And it's kind of interesting because it kind of, in a way, a little bit conflicts with geocaching a little bit. I don't want to say conflicts because it's not necessarily conflicting, but you know, when I think of geocaching, we are going out and putting things into the wild. We're leaving the containers and things like that in the wild. So, and they're all about, you know, leaving no trace at all. So I'm going to read a couple points here off their website, and we're going to talk about them. So if you have anything input tonight for the show, give us a call, 724-444-7444. And our Talkcast ID is 7525. Hit the *8 on your phone to get into our queue. First thing about leaving no trace is you're going to want to plan ahead and prepare. Know the regulations and special concerns for the area that you'll visit. Each area has a separate, you know, regulations and concerns. You know, one may have more concerns as far as the environment that you're at. So read up on your regulations and special concerns for the area you're going to visit, and also prepare for extreme weather hazards and emergencies. That kind of gets back into the whole being prepared when you're caching. Anyways, schedule your trip to avoid times of high use, so that way you're not going to be in the same area as a whole lot of other people, so that your impact, you have a little bit less impact because there's not going to be quite as many people in the area at the same time. It'll be a little bit easier to go about and leaving no trace and following the leave no trace things. Also, visit in small groups when possible. Consider splitting larger groups into smaller groups. Repackage food to minimize waste too. So if you've got a bunch of packages that, you know, like granola bars and things like that, that come in small packages, put them all together in maybe one big Ziploc bag, take it out, so that way you don't, you know, have all of that information, all of that packaging that you can with you and you have to keep with you. You just have one kind of a Ziploc bag. Use the map and compass to eliminate the use of marking paint, rock, cairns, or flagging. So don't actually set up sticks and things like that so that, you know, you can mark where you've been. Make sure that you have a good map, and so you don't need to actually leave any, disturb the environment in any way. Now, if you're going to be out, and this goes back to this whole leave no trace thing, goes back to the whole, a lot of more than just these urban caching, because a lot of these things with the urban caching, you're not going to need to follow these guidelines, because you're going to be in an urban setting. You're not going to need to travel and camp and take things like that. So this really, at the heart of it, breaks down into a lot more of what I consider geocaching to be all about anyways, is the actual long hikes, the good views, the scenic places, things like that. So the next set of things pertain to travel and camp on a durable surface. Durable surfaces include things like established trails, campsites, rock, gravel, dry grasses, or snow. Protect areas by camping at least 20 feet from lakes and streams too. So you're not right around that area. You're not going to damage the area right around the lakes. Good campsites. This is one of their big themes here, is good campsites are found, not made. Altering a site is not necessary in popular areas. Concentrate on using existing trails and campsites. If someone else has made a campsite in the area or a trail, go ahead and use that same thing. Walk single file in the middle of a trail or when wet or muddy. Now, you know, this is if you are going to be doing more than just the one cache trip. If it's just you, you're going to be in a group, a small group, go ahead and walk single file so you're not making the trail any wider, things like that. They also say keep your campsite small. Focus your activity in areas where vegetation is absent already. Don't cut down vegetation. Don't you know, trample down, put your fires on, things like that. Keep them small. Don't make them big. Do it in pristine areas. Disperse. Use to prevent the creation of campfires and trails. So if you've already, if you don't need to camp, create another trail or campsite, do that. Avoid places where impacts are just beginning too. So if there's maybe a little bit of a trail there, don't necessarily walk on that, because you're going to create another trail like that and leave your, the whole idea again is leaving no trace whatsoever as far as the cache like or the trail goes. Now, again, this is if you're, a lot of times these things fall into categories where if you're caching on a longer trip, if you're camping, things like that. So they say also dispose of your waste properly too. Pack it in, pack it out. Inspect your campsite at rest areas for trash or spilled foods. Pick up all trash, leftover food, and litter. You know, even the leftover food, you don't really think about it, but it's one of those things that you're, if you leave your food there, that's not leaving no trace. I mean, it may be edible and your animals can go ahead and get it, things like that. You're going to bring in new animals that aren't necessarily there by putting your food down. It's not supporting their normal habitat. So definitely make sure if you bring it in, you're going to also bring it back out. Now, they also say deposit solid human waste in cat holes dug 6 to 8 inches deep and at least 200 feet from water. Camp and trails, cover and disguise the cat hole when finished. So if you dig a hole to put your human waste in, go ahead and cover it back up, making sure it's just like it was when you left. Pack out your toilet paper and hygiene products. Don't put them in the cat hole too, because then you're leaving things that weren't actually in nature to begin with. To wash yourself or your dishes, carry water at least 200 feet away from streams or lakes and use small amounts of biodegradable soap. Scatter your strained dishwater accordingly too. So if you're going to be washing your dishes, things like that, make sure it's away from streams and lakes so that way the junk coming from your plates and stuff doesn't actually stay in the lake and infect the lake like that. And again, scatter your strained dishwater so that it's not all in one place and affecting the ground right there. And again, Head Hard Hat brings up a point. He says, don't wash your dishes in the cat holes that you dug. So that is a good thing there. You know, make sure that you keep away from the cat holes that you dug for your solid human waste. Now, they also say, and this may be, you know, something that as humans, we tend to are interested in cool looking things. They say, leave what you find, preserve the past, examine it, but do not touch cultural, historic structures and artifacts. So again, you're, if you're seeing something cool there, take a picture of it, maybe examine it, don't touch it, leave it, because that way, you know, it's going to ruin it. You know, if everybody touches it, it might fall apart and it's not going to be like it was. You're not going to have the past, the cultural stuff like that in the past. Leave rocks, plants, and other natural objects just as you find them. So if you're going to create a campfire and move some rocks to kind of create a campfire hole, go ahead and disperse that too. That way you don't actually leave them in an unnatural format too. Avoid introducing or transporting non-native species. So I know that you may find it interesting, the snake or whatever that's there. Definitely make sure that you don't bring something in and leave it in there. Like, don't bring your dog in there and leave him in there. You know, as tempting as that may be sometimes, depending on what kind of dog you have, or don't take things out. If you see a cool butterfly, things like that, don't bring them back out with you. You know, you never know what kind of a disease those things may have. You want to leave them just like they are. They, you know, they're adapted to their environment already. So leave them in there too. Don't build structures, furnitures, or dig trenches. We talked about digging holes a little bit earlier. If you do dig the holes, pack them back up. Do not leave them like they were. Make it so, again, leave no trace. So when people come in, they can't tell that there's ever been a human there at all. And if you do happen to, you know, if you're getting in the rain and you're building a structure like that, take it down when you're done, put things back. Don't cut down trees, things like that. Now, obviously, when we're talking about long trips like that, and a lot of times with camping and caching, you know, we are going to need a campfire to cook our food, to keep warm, things like that. So campfire, how do we minimize campfire impacts? Well, campfires can cause lasting impacts to the backcountry. Use a lightweight stove if you can for cooking and enjoy a candle lantern for light at night. Now, where fires are permitted, use established fire rings if there are, fire pans or mounded fires. Keep the fires small. Use only sticks from the ground that can be broken by hand. So don't cut anything down. Don't cut branches down. Don't take them down. If they're huge, leave them where they're at. use only the small sticks that are, you can be found, you know, by gathering, keep a small fire, things like that. Burn your all your wood and coals to ash. Put out campfires completely and then scatter cool ashes so that way they're not built up in a pile, things like that. So that, you know, again, when you come in, a new person comes in, they really can't tell that there's ever been a human there. Also, it's important to respect wildlife. Observe wildlife from a distance. Do not follow or approach them. Again, you don't really know what the wildlife may have, whether they may have some sort of a disease. So don't ever approach them. Don't feed the animals. It damages their health, because if you're having food that they don't normally have, it can damage their health completely and could cause unnatural behaviors. It's going to expose them to predators and other dangers like that. So it's in all circumstances, don't feed the animals. That way they can't come back and get you. You never know. It's always a good thing just to say, let's stay away from these animals. Don't touch them at all. Now, also, it's good to protect the wildlife and your food by storing rations and trash securely. Anyone who's ever been camping knows anything about this. Don't leave your food out. The raccoons will get them. And raccoons, bears, things like that. Even if you think that your food is secure, I know when we go camping, make sure that we put everything in a secure container. It always surprises me that the raccoons can get in things that I did not think that they could get in. So always go ahead and put things in containers that the animals cannot get in. That way it keeps things away from your campsite, things like that. Now, avoid wildlife during sensitive times too, like mating, nesting, raising their young, or winter. You know, you don't want to get anywhere near the wildlife. If it's best to completely avoid areas that you know that wildlife are going to be in during those sensitive times, like mating, nesting, raising their young, or winter. Because, again, they'll get more aggressive and they can hurt you, things like that. So it's always best to stay away from animals who have a reason to protect the things around them. Because if you accidentally get with them, they could hurt you, things like that. Now, it's always good, too, to be considerate of other visitors. Respect other visitors and protect the quality of their experience, too. You know, it's always a great thing when you go out into a freshly never touched area. You know, it's always amazing because the views are amazing and things like that. Respect other visitors. Obviously, other people are going to come there. You don't want to have them experience it where they see trash or things like that. Make it sure for them, their experience is as good as yours. Be courteous too. And this also applies to any time you're caching. You know, if you see other cachers or other hikers on the trail, go ahead and let them go first and always be courteous. Let them go, yield to other cachers. Step to the downhill side of the trail when encountering a pack stock. Take breaks and camp away from trails and other visitors. So don't put up your tent area near a trail, places that people are going to be. And let nature's sounds prevail. Avoid loud noises and voices. You know, it's never fun to go camping and then see and hear other people yell at night. You know, it's always good to hear the sounds of nature. And when you're in a cache site or campsite where there's people that are loud, it just kind of destroys that. So, you know, again, guys, this goes back to the whole, it's good to respect nature and just be sensitive of those areas. Not saying we can't place caches there, but when we do, just respect the environment and, you know, respect other people's experience too. You know, and as we all know, you know, as geocachers, when they put caches off of the trail, create a little geo trail and things like that. So it's not, it kind of ruins your experience to find the cache after lots and lots of people have been on this trail, because it's really easy to find the cache. You know, you just walk up and there's the cache because you follow the little trail. That's why I always like being FTF, because there's never that information from other cachers as far as where the cache may be. So it all boils down to respecting nature, respecting other people. And Leave No Trace, check out their website. They've got a lot of really cool programs going on there. It's LNT.org. We would like to thank World Caching for supporting this episode. Join us each Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. You can call in live at 724-444-7444. And our TalkCast ID is 7525. Our show notes and links to all of our past shows can be found at geocachingpodcast.com. If you've got any feedback about any of our episodes, call our voicemail 206-3503-GPS. Anytime to leave us a voicemail. And again, if you're hearing our podcast for the first time, I normally have co-hosts here with me. It's a little bit easier to do the show when you can kind of chat. You know, I'm used to doing that. So come back, check us out. We do the show every Tuesday, 9:30 p.m. Eastern on the TalkShoe service. Have a safe week and happy caching.